professor of psychiatry, he found another group of patients that had this up and down feeling problem. And it kept on going over the period of about 5 to 10 years, became more and more inflated, and down to where they began describing it as anything that would deprive a patient with lifelong temperamental dysregulation and depressive episodes. And everybody wanted to have a mood-regulating medicine approved for bipolar disorder until they thought that perhaps up to 10% of the population needed it. And so all kinds of medicines were touted as a great, wonderful response to this disease, and soon you had lots of people walking around stumbling into things. And we're talking about Neurontin with gabapentin, talking about lamotrigine, Lamictal, a number of drugs like that you may have heard of, Depakote's the most common one today, Tegretol, used for other conditions as well. These medications are anticonvulsants, mood dampeners. If you have bipolar disease, make sure you get people on a mood dampener before you hit them with an antidepressant, or they might go nuts. I'm sorry, might have a psychotic episode. Unfortunately, by the time they got around to really looking at the studies, they were garbage. Remember, the Food and Drug Administration is not there to protect you. It is there to market. And they, unfortunately, are in the pockets of many of the drug companies. So always ask, always read. One thing the FDA has done is they've made the drug companies cough up the truth in those very fine-lined explanation of benefits, all the warnings and pluses and minuses, which everybody gets from the pharmacy when they get their medicine and nobody reads because they're too lengthy. That's about all. They expect you to be caveat emptor, which means the buyer has to be beware. We must be spiritually discerned, because as brother here was talking about spiritual information, we have to have that spiritual help when the scripture does not directly speak on a specific subject. When I walk into a patient's room, I don't know who am I going to meet, because I don't like to look at my list before I walk in. But I have my laptop in hand, as you all know, this all electronic these days. And I walk into the room, and I just pray that I can say one thing that'll bring that person closer to the Lord. And you know what? He does answer. More times than I can believe. And that's the blessing of continuing to work. And that's the work that you can do in caring for others. And I'm sure that as many of you have suffered from diseases, from illnesses, from problems, and have been placed on those medicines, I don't even want to ask. I don't even want to ask how many, because I'm sure there have been many. Because I have been guilty of the same. We all have. I was telling Brother Kervin that after we went to the Michigan meeting, when I came back to the office the following Monday, I had three patients. Two of them wanted to be taken off their medication, and one, I asked them about going off their medicine. It's absolutely mind-boggling. God had been preparing me and others for that very same thing.
Brother Kervin has.
Bipolar disorder is a newer label for the same disorder that used to be called manic depressive disorder. Manic depressive was a split personality where you had go one time into mania and to severe depression. And sometimes that can get very flip-flop and go very extreme. Now, I was one that I had that. I was never labeled by a psychiatrist, but
I'm going to read to us a letter that was mailed as a testimony from a young Amishman in Michigan. The young brother's name is Melvin Miller. It's his personal experience. He desired to be here today. He could not be here, but he has such a burden on his heart, he wanted to share a little of his story. It was on a sunny day during my late teen years when the shadows fell over my life. There was a distinct change in the way my brain felt and how I perceive things. My first impulse was to run for the medicine cabinet to try and find something to help me, in vain. After that, I was in sort of a daze, going about daily duties, but not really doing it. Sometime later, I got my first panic attack. While visiting family in Ohio, we were eating lunch when I suddenly felt trapped, wanting to jump out of the window behind me, yet so frozen I could not move. After that, I would swing between depression and anxiety, finally seeing a local minister who was doing some counseling. He got a doctor involved, which put me on Zoloft. I worked through a book called The Search for Significance by Robert McGee, which got me to read any book or material I could find concerning counseling, etc. I seemed to function fairly well, yet my problems were still there. All it took was a relationship with a girl that didn't work out to put me into a whirl of confusion and depression again. I went to a place where they do hair analysis to diagnose problems like mineral deficiencies, etc. They found some things wrong and left me with some recommendations. But I got worse until I went to a boys' home for help. By my own choice, confident that they would have some answers, I searched for the root cause of my shame, fear, and other problems. We began by using charts, journaling, and other material to try to trace this back to the root of my problem. Finally, upon my continued request, I was put on a sample medication, the first one being Risperdal, an antipsychotic. Yes, it did slow down my brain, but later I also got my hand and a piece of equipment for the result of that medication. I was taken off that and put on Seroquel, also an antipsychotic. I was then taken to a psychiatrist who kept me on Seroquel, officially prescribing it. I heard things from the counselor and psychiatrist like the schizo effect as being my problem, although they didn't seem to quite know what was really wrong. Note that the reason I wanted to be put on meds was that I believed that they would provide me with what I needed to balance the chemistry in my brain. I had frequently heard of the theory of chemical imbalances. The Seroquel would knock me out every night. I could hardly get going in the morning until about 9 o'clock. When I got back home, I felt like I'd been a wild goose chase, still going around with shameful thoughts, on meds, and seemingly not having found my true root problem. I felt like a basket case with nothing to look forward to, but I just simply had to live with it. At one point, I was on Seroquel, an antipsychotic, and two other antidepressants, Zoloft and Wellbutrin, at the same time. Our family doctor asked me, "Who put you on that?" He told me to get off the Seroquel. He said that I would have lifelong health effects if I ever stayed on it, which was I was not told before. Besides that, the doctor said that I'm nowhere near like those who would normally be medicated with Seroquel. At some point, I went on a multiple-day fast, seeking God after I'd come home. I was in a sink or swim situation. I felt desperate. I would list my negative thoughts and then God's truth on a tablet. Then I would verbalize the truth to myself. I went off of all of medication and started on a nutritional formula that seemed to help. I would like to emphasize that I didn't get anywhere in overcoming my negative thoughts until I took a full responsibility for who I had become. Just resting in the arms of God and getting to know Him more when I felt anxious or depressed took a lot of added pressure of the hopelessness that engulfs a person who doesn't have that. At one time, there was only one thing I felt I could hang on to. With God, all things are possible. I learned to really believe that promise during my worst times when I felt terrible. I have been free of meds for over 5 years and doing much better than I did on them. Though I say that with a bit of hesitancy, I am very thankful for the more excellent way and confidence that God's grace is sufficient and that He will remain sufficient. By faith, I want to remain by the Rock of Ages, who is my refuge. Take heart, you who are weary and fainting. If there was hope for me, there is hope for you. Thank you, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit for your direction in the Word of God. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I don't know that there's a whole lot that needs said after a day like today, but maybe a closing conclusion. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is simple. He died on the cross, shed His blood so we can find forgiveness for our sins. We need to repent and turn to Him. And where we've been sinned against, we can forgive. It's that simple. You know, I have to admit, I sat here looking at some of these things about abuse and hearing even the description of how badly it affects people. And my mind went to people that had that happen to them, and you would never know. They went on and forgave. They were never traumatized. You would never know. You'd look at them and say they're one of the lucky ones that never had anything happen to them. It's not so. It's how we respond to where we can forgive, or whether we turn inside and say it's not fair. Poor me. So, amen. We bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, we turn our hearts to You. Thank You for this day. Would You bless each one of these dear people that took their day to come here and show interest in learning how to have our needs met and also how to help others meet needs in their lives. Dear God, we pray for a blessing upon each one of them, upon each one of us as we leave here. Help us to be effective channels, vessels for You to work through. We can be brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow laborers together in the gospel. Lord, we pray, give us the courage to not be intimidated by professional counseling, but rather in humility carry the light of the cross of Jesus Christ. We just pray, God, that You'd go with us. Especially pray for anyone that is here, that came here today looking for answers for their own lives, that You'd bless them with that answer and lead them, whether it's in salvation or whether it's deeper struggles they're facing. Would You help them with them to find that answer and to be able to let go of whatever it is that might need forgiven, or to open up and confess what needs repented of. Watch over us now as we leave this place. Care for us. Bless our day tomorrow. Give each one of us a blessed Sunday. Fresh inspiration and feed fresh manna from heaven, Lord. Just pray for Your grace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.